श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे To clarify, Srila Prabhupada is in one sense straightforward. His glorious activities and achievements are apparent to all. We all know how Srila Prabhupada alone established this Krishna conscious movement and gave knowledge of and experience of Krishna to people of the Western world for the first time. Nowadays we take it for granted that there are devotees of Krishna in practically all the countries of the world. But just a few years ago, no one could have imagined that there could be Vaishnavas from America, Australia, England, and what to speak of countries behind the so-called Iron Curtain. Srila Prabhupada in his lifetime established more than 100 centers of Krishna consciousness throughout the world. He translated more than 70 books of Krishna consciousness. He gave a blueprint for a worldwide Krishna consciousness movement to expand more and more. So in one sense it's easy to glorify Prabhupada. We can jot down the statistics of his achievements. On the other hand, to properly glorify Prabhupada is not possible because he gave that which is unlimited. He gave Krishna. The sufferings of the living beings in the material world are unlimited. To rescue even one person from that unlimited suffering and then again give them the positive, unlimited of love of Krishna is an unlimitedly glorious activity. We were just listening to the lecture of Srila Prabhupada about the qualifications and qualities of a guru. The Prabhupada was stating that the guru's duty is to rescue the disciple from suffering. He does that by giving him transcendental knowledge of Krishna. That is the general characteristic of a guru. Therefore, a guru is not an ordinary person. In Shastra, it is stated that even for one syllable of transcendental knowledge that the guru gives the disciple can never repay the debt even in millions of lifetimes. So a guru is never an ordinary person. But then, even among gurus, Prabhupada is extraordinary. Even among great acharyas, Prabhupada is extraordinary. Our parampara is a line of great acharyas. In the Vaishnav line, there are great acharyas such as Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya. Our Gaurya Vaishnav line is founded by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are so many great Vaishnav acharyas in our line. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, Krishnadas Kaviraj, Chakravarti, Baladevi Vidyabhushan. More recently, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur were great acharyas whose level of Krishna consciousness and whose preaching achievements were each individually unique. All the Vaishnava acharyas wanted that Krishna consciousness be spread all over the world. Prabhupada did it. This makes them unique. As I was saying, no one previously could even dream that Krishna consciousness would be spread all over the world. After the disappearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, no one was even thinking of how to do that. The desire of Saraswati Thakur to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world was the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that desire could have been filled by any of his disciples. But practically, only one did it. Only one took up the work of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Who was, of course, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada tried to get help from his godbrothers and others in India at that time. But no one took him very seriously. No one wanted to help. Even some of his godbrothers, they would try to put hindrances in his activities. Now, there are many Vaishnavas who say that, well, actually, anyone could have did what he did. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers said that, well, I could have also preached in the West, but I didn't like to mix up with such low-class people. Caste consciousness is very strong in India and was even much stronger than 30 years ago. People didn't like to go to the Western countries. They thought they'd become contaminated by doing so. So that shows, yes, I could have done it, but I didn't like to because I didn't like to mix with such low class. So that shows that others didn't have that Vaishnava, that true Vaishnava characteristic of mercy. Sometimes contemporaries of Prabhupada have been described as more learned than him, or more austere than him, or more this, or more that, or more something else. But the true symptom of a Vaishnava is that he desires the benefit of others. Srila Prabhupada exhibited this quality of compassion in full. Therefore, in his old age, he went out into the world with no friends in the Western world. He had no friends in the Western world. No support or encouragement from anybody. No money, $40. If we see an old person, generally we say, don't take any strain, let me carry a bag for you. I hope we should say like this. Prabhupada, at the age of 69 years old, when most people might have difficulty walking up the stairs, embarked on a mission to establish a worldwide religious movement. Materially speaking, it was impossible, especially going to New York, the capital of hedonism. Another thing you may not understand, actually, even Prabhupada's way of speaking is very difficult for people to understand. Because the accent of people in America and the accent of Prabhupada's thick Indian accent is quite different.
Right.
And his use of English, his English usage was quite different. The grammatical usage was old British mixed with the Indian style English. And I mean, even I know I went to America for the first time last year, and I'm from Britain, so the way of speaking and the words they use, it's quite different and difficult to understand. When I first joined this movement, I used it all the time. The devotees were playing Prabhupada's lecture cassettes. It took me about, of course they were all in English, but it took me about a month before I could understand what Prabhupada was saying. So there were so many obstacles, ill health, heart attacks. I was just determined to spread Krishna consciousness. Because he had full faith that it could be done. He had full faith that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants this, that by chanting the holy names and explaining the message of Bhagavatam, that it will act. Generally, when we're preaching, we like to preach among cultured and at least well-behaved and polite, respectable people. But Prabhupada didn't have any such people coming to him. So the only people who showed any kind of interest were the hippies. They talk about cities as being concrete jungles.
You say that in your language?
No.
We say jungle on the asphalt.
Okay, say whatever you can. So the hippies were like the savages in those jungles. But somehow, rather, they were attracted to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was so patient in giving Krishna consciousness to them. He had faith that if somehow or other we can keep on engaging them in chanting and hearing, that the spirit soul underneath that hippie will come out and become enlightened in Krishna consciousness. Even at the first initiation ceremony Prabhupada held, no one really knew what initiation was all about. Prabhupada cooked a big feast for the ceremony. Okay. So then everyone got initiated, had a nice feast, and said, okay, thank you very much, Swamiji. And went back to their apartments, leaving Swamiji to clean everything up after them. They had no idea. Prabhupada was so patient in introducing us. Had he not been so, we wouldn't all be sitting here today. If Prabhupada hadn't taken that sacrifice, he wouldn't have been able to inspire his disciples to sacrifice. Or he wouldn't have been able to bring anyone to chant Hare Krishna at all. So when some of his godbrothers said that, well, you know, anyone could have gone to America and done it. He could have spread Krishna. Always wanting to minimize Prabhupada's contribution. So Prabhupada told the story of Christopher Columbus, that when he came back to the court in Portugal, I believe it was, and some people were envious of his achievements, and said, well, anyone could have done that. He just sailed his boat and he came to America. Actually, there are many risks and difficulties involved in that, which I won't go into now.
Right.
So in the court of the king, where this talk was going on, Christopher Columbus once challenged everybody. He took one egg and he said, can any of you stand this up on its side? So everyone said, well, of course not. Krishna Lankaram said, I can. Let's see if any of you can do it. So they were trying, and actually the egg fell on its side. So Christopher Columbus said, now I'll show you how to do it. So he took it, he just cracked it a little bit and stood there. So he said, well, anyone could have done that. He said, well, that's what you're saying now, but you didn't know before. So in the same way, anyone could have gone to America, but you didn't know. I did it. So in the same way, theoretically, anyone could have gone to America and preached Krishna consciousness. But practically, no one thought that it was, they weren't even thinking about doing it, let alone thinking whether it was possible or not. We understand that Prabhupada's doing so means that he is very most dear disciple, specific follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the fulfillment of the desire of all the previous acharyas. Srila Prabhupada has written his wonderful Bhaktivedanta Purpose, which he stated, these are my most important contribution, even more than spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. While composing these purports, Srila Prabhupada consulted the commentaries of all the previous acharyas and presented the essence of all of them with his own realization. Srila Prabhupada said that by reading my books you get in touch with the previous acharyas. And Prabhupada presented it in such a way that even people with no background of Krishna consciousness could understand it. This is most amazing considering that Krishna consciousness is the summum bonum of all Vedic knowledge. And even many great Sanskrit scholars cannot understand the truths which are presented so simply and straightforwardly by Srila Prabhupada. Many times in India we meet learned scholars and sometimes they question us and they are surprised at our answers. They're surprised at our answers because the way Prabhupada taught us Krishna conscious philosophy, we're able to answer as he did, giving the essential points of Krishna conscious philosophy, which even many great learned people may be confused about. So this way Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the desires of all the previous acharyas and fulfilled, which is to fulfill the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada actually did even more than Lord Chaitanya did. That may seem like an amazing statement, but it can be understood in the way that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna did more than Krishna did by Krishna's grace. Once Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and one of his disciples voiced an objection of one of Prabhupada's so-called Gandharvas, a very strange objection, that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Krishna consciousness spread all over the world, he would have done it. He's God himself. But he didn't do it, that means he didn't want it done. Therefore, Bhaktivedanta Swami should not preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. This is wrong. This is against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. And this time Prabhupada, this morning walk was on the beach. The Prabhupada stopped, put his cane in the sand. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not spread Krishna consciousness all over the world because he wanted to give me the credit for doing it. So Srila Prabhupada lived among us. Lived among us. In many ways he was a very simple person. His lectures are very simple. He didn't dazzle everyone with a fantastic intellectual show of words. But he just spoke the simple, straightforward truth that Krishna is the Supreme Person and we are all his eternal servants. As an ideal acharya, he practiced what he preached. He personally took pleasure in chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. And he wanted his followers just to follow in his footsteps and do as he was doing. So this will be our real appreciation of Prabhupada. We're all eternally indebted to Prabhupada. Without Prabhupada, none of us could be here today, engaged in Krishna consciousness. Even you see, now, as a sannyasi in Prabhupada's movement, you're all honoring me. And that is the proper etiquette which Srila Prabhupada, among everything else, established. But, basically, I'm in the same position as you. If it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada, I wouldn't be chanting Hare Krishna, I wouldn't know anything about it. So Srila Prabhupada, he moved in this world, brought so many people to Krishna consciousness. And he sent his disciples out to do the same thing. Follow this, chant Hare Krishna, preach, teach others about Krishna, spread the mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I order every person in the universe to take this Krishna consciousness and spread it to others. So how will Krishna consciousness be spread to others? By achara and prachara, by proper behavior in devotional service and by preaching to others. So our real appreciation of Prabhupada will be in doing this. Once Prabhupada wrote a letter to some of his disciples, tremendous book distribution. So Prabhupada said, actually it is not possible to repay the debt to the spiritual master. But if you at all feel indebted to me, then please go on preaching vigorously like me. So that mercy of Srila Prabhupada is there, it's open to us all. As a very great devotee of Krishna, Prabhupada is available, giving his mercy to all. The great devotees continue to live in this world even after their apparent departure. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Shukadeva Goswami, Tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimanato smi. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Shukadeva Goswami, who can enter into the hearts of all. So, Prabhupada is available to everyone. He wants to enter our hearts and bless us all with love of Krishna if we want him. There are so many devotees who have experienced the presence of Srila Prabhupada. Once I was discussing this with Satsarupa Maharaj, who was telling me he's had so many narrations from devotees who have experienced the presence of Prabhupada in their lives. So when we're distributing Prabhupada's books or any service, reading Prabhupada's books, it means if we're reading in a prayerful mood, then we realize that Prabhupada is directly speaking to me. Anything we do in Krishna consciousness, we cannot help but remember Prabhupada, either directly or indirectly. Because if it wasn't for Prabhupada, we wouldn't have any chance to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. So our real appreciation of Prabhupada, which should be deep and unlimited, because he has given us that which is deep and unlimited. So our real appreciation will be to follow his instructions and to try to spread Krishna consciousness to others. These are things that please Srila Prabhupada very much. We like to see devotees seriously practicing Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada is very happy to see others happy in Krishna consciousness. He's very happy to see devotees chanting and dancing. He's very happy to see devotees sacrificing and risking to spread Krishna consciousness. He is very happy to see devotees cooperating together to spread Krishna consciousness. He is very happy to see very nice deity worship. So let us think how to make our real offering to Prabhupada by rededicating our lives to his service and acting in such a way that he will be pleased. Having come in contact with such a personality, why should we think to act any more on the mundane platform? Why should we at all be attracted to anything else of this material world? Prabhupada has given us Krishna. We cannot pay that debt ever to Prabhupada. Or at least let us make him happy and by trying to serve Krishna. And let us not make him unhappy by slipping away from Krishna consciousness.